of the world provided a place for us to rest, a place for us to find answers in the hours of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah. God Almighty, He's the Prince of Peace. All my troubles vanish, and hearts are through His love the world provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answer in the hours of distress. Slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah. God Almighty, He's the Prince of Peace. All troubles vanish, and hearts are made. Present.
and praise God for getting back home safely again. I tell you, I don't know what it is, but I know my soul hungers for this word, but it rubs right off into my flesh, you know, and the spirit and everything. I get nervous and anxious, and I think I've got to get back. And I'm just so happy to be here, and I thank God, you know, for this message, and it's just something that soothes us, you know, and gives us a peace that we don't get anywhere else. Amen. And I'm just thankful to be here and thankful for God's word. And I appreciate the internet, being able to watch it on the internet, but it's still not like being here, as everybody knows. And just thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, we were reading the Bible this morning, and Dawn called to my mind when the angel appeared to Mary, and he put that seed in her. And she said, according to your will.
Right.
And we were talking about that. We were saying, you know, that Bible's full of types.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the type of what he did for me.
Right. Absolutely.
He saw that I was going to believe this word.
Amen.
And he put that seed in me.
Right.
And I thank him for that. I thank him for this word.
Amen.
And I agree with you. This does something to your flesh.
Amen.
It does something. You want to praise God. You know, another thing I was thinking about as I read God's word, how much it means to God for us to believe.
Right.
It pleased Jesus so much when he would find someone that had faith, and it just did something for him. And when he found unbelief, how it stubbed him up and he couldn't move.
Right.
You know, so faith is such an important thing.
Amen.
And I know God gives you a measure of faith, but I say, God, let me manifest it.
Amen.
He puts that seed in me.
Amen.
He puts that word in me.
Right.
There's nothing more I can have.
No.
You know, I'm done. But I can get out of the way.
Amen.
I can
praise him.
I can do my part. I can't get any more of God.
Amen.
I can't get any more. He's given me a measure of faith, but I sure can manifest it more. And I can give to him. And that's my goal.
Amen.
Amen.
Nervous when I get up there. My heart's racing. But I will say God has been with me through this whole time, from my dad, my car, my job. I got a new job, and this girl, let me tell you what, she is so hard to deal with, but I make it through the day. And then my arm, I can actually raise it. I just want to praise him so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to praise him too. You know, I've got a lot of drama going on. I'm thinking about my family and different things and friends and stuff that's going on. And mom's about to go to Florida for 8 months. You know, I don't really have a lot of family here anymore. And I look around at this body, I'm like, this is my, I mean, I gotta be careful about saying online, but this is my real family. You know, my people are here, and I'm so thankful to have this group of people. You know,
Amen.
Whatever mom's going through, the revelation, you know, the rapture will take care of that.
Amen.
Me and my dad don't know what to say to each other. Rapture will take care of that.
That's right.
My brother's a mess. Rapture will take care of that, too.
Amen.
You know, I was working out with this friend for 6 months, like 3 days a week. I canceled on him one Sunday because I want to go out to eat with Brother Jay. And he's like, my frequency's higher than yours. I said, no, it ain't, brother. You don't put God first. I ain't worried about working out my legs after church.
Come
I'm trying
on.
To fellowship. You know what? I don't need to do that on a Sunday. My legs are fine.
That's right.
I want to put God first, you know. It's stupid, you know. I just it makes things so much easier when you just put God first and you're focused on what's eternal, you know. I'm not so caught up in temporary things down here.
No,
I'm really not. I'm focused on the final goal. I've read the end of the book, you know. We win. I ain't worried about too much. So I'm just excited to be here. Let me I'm shaking now. Let me get these announcements out of the way. If you're interested in doing the crochet class, you can sign up in the back. We've got the bonfire coming up. It's this weekend, right? That's the 29th.
Amen.
And we've got music.
Sign up for the crochet's done. Now they're already doing classes.
Okay, I just saw them updating it earlier. But.
Okay.
And Brother OK is coming. The weekend of 14th and 15th, so we're going to have special services and then a dinner Sunday night after he comes. So let's sing 189, Majesty, after you testify.
I'm so happy to be here.
Amen.
You know, I was reading 1 Peter chapter 2 the other day, and it's telling me how I was chosen and elected by God.
Okay.
And It's all through the Bible. I mean, all through the Bible. Paul preached about it a lot. And why these church people overlook that or go around it, I'll never... Well, I do know they're not believers, but I've been watching God move through my life lately, and you know my stepdaughter, she's been really sick, and I prayed for her and I told her, I said, God has got you, He's going to bring you through this, and He did. He, you know, she was in the hospital for 11 days. She almost died from septic infection, and then God brought her through that, and then she had to go to the hospital again. God brought her through that. So finally now, she's back on course, back to start her chemo Wednesday. So, you know, Satan's just attacking her, and I told her, you know, you just got to hold on to God and believe He'll heal you, because He will. And I said, I put you in God's hands, and nothing's going to happen to you unless He allows it.
Amen. Go ahead, Sister King.
You all can be seated.
I'm glad to be here, too. You know, those testimonies, what can you say but amen. Amen to all of them. And I'm just so thankful. I've been in and out all summer helping my sister in Kentucky. The gardens come in and different things come in different times, but I'm back now, and I've got all my tomato juice put away, and I'm so thankful, Lord, that God lets me do the things that He does. You know,
right.
Sometimes it's really hard to do the things, but I still push, and I want to keep what Brother Earl always said, and Pastor Nate, you got to push. I don't care what you come up against, you got to push. And I am so thankful for that push.
Amen. Also, it's good to see Bro Trevor in here, too.
Let me say a little something here. Yeah. I thank God for truth, for real truth, you know. They were talking about how just believe God. You know, Abraham just believed God. It's counted him for righteousness. Just believe Him. You know, and I'm thinking about those that, you know, I was reading Romans 7, and I got reading Romans 1 and Romans 4 and James 4, and, you know, and all these things. And, you know, the thing that never stops is He never stops tying us together from one end to the other. You
Amen.
Know,
right.
There's so many scriptures that tie, and when they tie it puts new light on it, you know, as you go. And I was saying this morning, you know, if you want to lose weight, watch what you eat. If you want to be stronger, go to the gym. If you want to get closer to God, pray and read your Bible.
Amen.
Of course, getting to church is a given. So, you know, don't even think you're trying to get close to God. You're not getting to church. But nonetheless, you know, I think about these things. Just common sense of it, you know. And I was reading Romans 1. It talked about, you know, doing those things that are uncommon, leaving the natural affection, you know. And I think, you know, there's a natural. There's a supernatural, but there's an unnatural. And this unnatural, God is appalled at. You know, I was out there at the little festival yesterday, Old Timers Day, me and Brother Don went. And, you know, people out there just common, just natural affection, you know, talk to you, friendly, you know. And God loves that. I know God loves that because I love that.
Amen.
You
right.
know, you go to some of these high-fluting things and they ain't got time for you. That's not natural. It's not even what you're born with, you know, natural affection, love for humanity, you know, feeling for your brother, taking care of your family, those kind of natural things. But you get in these unnatural things, and I was reading more in Romans 1, where it talks about how that haters of God, you know, inventors of evil things, you know, just relentless, you know, malignant, you know, and I looked that up, because I don't know what it means, but I looked it up, and it... you know, just passionate about being evil.
Right.
You know, just passionate. Just can't wait till they just, you know, just hurt somebody and do somebody over, you know. And I think, you know, and then I got to think about this, talking to Jan about the rapture, you know, and I thought, it's no wonder it's only going to take 3.5 years for man to destroy himself because, you know, if you want weeds in your garden, just lay down the hoe. And when you take God out of the mix... It ain't gonna take long at all. Amen. Leave man to his own devices. But then I got thinking about how simple it is just to believe God. You know, just to have affection one towards another, just to love one another, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord, so thankful. So thankful you got it that way. So thankful. And it's up to them. You hate somebody because you choose to. You love somebody because you choose to. And nobody makes you do nothing. You know, you've got a choice in everything you do in life. And I'm thankful it's that way. I'm thankful that I had enough of God-given sense I was born with just to love the truth and to love Him and to recognize, you know, that sure, I feel for my brother. I feel for one another. You know, Brother Branham said the way to get a prayer answered was you got to enter in to the one that's suffering, one you're praying for. You know, and some people give these dry prayers. No wonder you're going to higher in the ceiling because they don't enter in. They don't really feel for one another. And, you know, just so many things. Like I say, so many scriptures, so much, you know, you sit there and you just ramble, but that's where my mind goes. You know, I was thinking too yesterday that, you know, I'm not a big prayer warrior, not a big reader, you know, but I'm a thinker. I do a lot of thinking, you know, and after you pray and after you read, you got to do some thinking. So I'm glad that we've come to this place. I'm glad we've come to a place where it's so real to us. He's made himself so real, and it's time. We got to get out of here. We got to know what's going on. We got to be able to pick Him up and know what's right, and to hold to that which is good. I'm thankful for the truth. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, bro. Oh. Ladies first.
Got a jump.
I had my back turned. Didn't see you.
I just want to give God thanks and praise for being here today, for having an ear to hear.
Yes.
And of all, I was telling somebody the other day, of all the things I've done in my life, there's some things that I'm really glad I did do. And I read the Bible.
Yeah.
I had His word in my heart. And then I looked in the scripture, and I see myself. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. Now this is a promise. Tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I've seen the Lord do that in my life. There's things that you do that nobody else can do. Maybe you're a little bit strange. Maybe you it's unorthodox. But whatever you do, God has ordained you to do that. He's got knitters in here. He's got players in here. This group of people, He personally handpicked to be here at such a time as this. How I praise Him. Amen. Oh, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. I am glad to say I'm one of them. I couldn't sit still. It makes me nervous. It makes me nervous because you know what? I feel that, you know, I have something to say.
Yep.
You got to hear my voice, you know, because that voice ties me back to that body. You know, I love this thing, and, you know, I got a kick out of it because, you know, we had homework to read Romans 7. You know, I find myself doing things
I normally do. And you always wonder, you know, why? Well, we have a reason now. You know, there had to be a complete change,
right.
A complete burning of that old man.
Amen.
There can't be two husbands.
Right.
The Bible says, you know, that's thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Can't be two husbands.
Nope.
You know, I got a kick out of it because, you know, I woke up very, very early, probably early yesterday. Woke up at 1:30, couldn't go back to sleep, having some pain. Finally fell back to sleep, and I woke up late. And I was like, Lord, you're going to have to stop the day. I don't know if you guys remember some of the older folks getting four kids together for church. That's a miracle in its own. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna be here. We came in. There was a presence of the God in the house. There wasn't confusion. Because I made a choice. You know, usually the old Seth would have been like, well, it's late. I'll just stay home. But there's a push.
Amen.
I love that. There's a push.
Yes.
That new birth gives you a push. Because you won't, you're like, I have something to do. I have a job to do. I'm not going to sit here and just put myself like, well, you know, Seth would have stayed at home. This flesh would have stayed at home. It's nice outside. It's Sunday morning. There's football games. The flesh would have stayed at home. That spirit would have been like, well, I can watch Pow Talk, or I can watch the internet. I can make excuses. But that soul has one inlet.
Amen.
Amen. Right. That's it. Amen to the word.
Right.
It knows exactly where its food, its bread is buttered. It knows that you can't get it outside of here. This is spiritual leg day.
Yeah.
This is spiritual leg day.
Amen.
You want to come in here? Yes.
Yeah.
Like Brother Moore says, you'll make it. But at what cost?
Right.
At what cost?
Right.
You go through this life one time.
You
see a believer who's in this and who's strong. They're not sitting there like, oh Lord Jesus, oh I made it. I don't see any testimonies like that anymore. Like, oh Lord Jesus, I made it one more time. It's like, you know, well, you know, so and so, they died or they have cancer. Lord, amen, I made it, amen. You see strong believers. You said in the last day when we can overcome cancer,
that
will be a body of, oh Lord, and yes, and once we're off the scene. There's nothing holding this world back.
Uh-uh.
You look at this now. You're the only thing that's holding your job up.
Right.
You're the only thing that's holding your job up. You leave that job, there's no promise for that job.
There you go.
There's no promise. Once God leaves the scene, it's anything can happen.
On their own.
You leave this world alone, the earth will take it back.
Yes, right. It will.
You don't tend to the... If I didn't mow the grass, grass would take the field back.
Grow over so quick.
It would overgrow it. We're the tenders of this world.
Yes.
We tend to this world. I'm the last voice of the last age.
Right.
But I got to say something.
Right.
You can't just say from the seat like, oh, well, Lord, he said I was. There's got to be a manifestation.
Right.
There has got to be a manifestation.
Absolutely.
You know, it's nice to say that you had a new birth. It's nice to say that you believe this thing. But what do you believe?
Come on.
What do you believe?
Right.
I believe I came in here saying amen before I even walked in the door.
That's right.
I came in with a song in my heart.
That's right.
I came in with a thought. It may not have been a profound thought,
but it
was like, hey,
that's
Lord,
right.
I woke up at 9:30. I have to be at church. I should have been at church by now. Lord, let's go.
Amen.
I told the kids, you guys got 5 minutes. You have four, really, but I give you grace for five. But there should be a desire. There should be a push.
Amen.
I love
amen.
That.
Amen.
I love our examples.
What
we
loves.
We've had. We go through things. This is this flesh. As long as I have to shower this thing, I have to wake this thing up.
Yes,
I have to drag this thing out of the dirt.
Yes.
It's but that's not even where he said go and sin no more. I believe.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in me that can't unbelieve. I've already made it.
Amen.
Sure. Everything else, this will be perfect. I can't even be perfect until this is changed.
That's right.
Again, Romans 7 told us that. Romans 7, you know, until this flesh gets changed and gets glorified, I'm going to have problems. But that's not where the emphasis is at.
Evil is present.
It's the fact that when he gets up here and he says, thus saith the Lord, I can be like, oh, amen. Just like that. So simple. It's so simple. It's such a simple hour that you can come in here and you can have absolute faith. As soon as you walk in these doors, you're going to hear from God. You're going to hear 100% truth.
Yes.
And we know it. That's why we show up.
That's right.
That's why we choose to show up.
That's right.
You choose because you can be. I've been this. I'll speak for myself. I've been the person who's been like, well, I'll catch Pow Talk or live stream. I'll catch it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God spoke on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that manna was for that day.
Yeah.
Because you try to listen to Sunday service on Wednesday. You may be speaking with the old man, and that, you know, it's still the truth, but hey, I want to be here when God talks, because, you know, one of these days we're going to get a certain revelation that's going to cause a body change. And I don't want to miss a body change. I don't want to be that, you know, the last one. It's about that, like, hey, Seth, we're leaving now. I want to be the one who's not late, you know. So I thank God for this revelation. I thank God for the front part of the service where I give an opportunity. And I'll sit down so someone else can have an opportunity. God bless.
Hey. Go ahead, Brother Warren. We have some brothers get the offering.
I just want to thank God. The thought that I have is longevity. It's being in this message, if I want to call that, my youth. But I just thank God that it's just the grace of God that I'm still here.
Yes.
And, you know, and I run to the house. You know, sometimes you got to fight the flesh, but you overcome. You know, I run here.
Yes,
I run. Yes. And, it's such a blessing to know that you're amongst believers. But, you go through things. But, you know, that's just life. But, you know, I've got a goal in front of me. You know, I want to get the debt up.
Yeah.
So amen. That's my goal. And I use that. I also use my wife. Thank you. Yeah, she's my helpmate.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you got to kickstart yourself, you know.
That's right.
And, but then I'll see her getting ready for church. I'm like, oh, that's right. We got to go. And so it builds, it builds me up, you know, it gives me a rebuke. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just that I'm glad that I look forward to coming here and hearing the word. And speaking of longevity, my wife and I have been married for 34 years as of to the day yesterday. You know, it's been a ride, you know, up and down, just like anybody else. But, you know, it by the grace of God, we're still together,
amen.
You know. And I used to say, and I still believe it, is that, you know, if I had to pick anybody, if I had to do it again, it would still be with her, because she gets me. You know, I get her. It's just like God. You know,
amen.
God gets me.
Amen.
You know, and I get him.
That's right.
So I just thank God for the blessing, amen, that I have, a beautiful woman like that to share my life with. Amen. You know, and I just want to say, Crystal, I love you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sing the song and we'll get him up. Majesty.
Majesty.
kingdom authority.
Be seated. Musicians, stay there. I'm going to pay a bill today. good to see Trevor here this morning. But Tina wanted me to sing It's My Desire. And every time she texts me, she said, I didn't hear my song. I didn't hear my song. I didn't hear my song. So I think I better pay the bill. Hey, man, that's in the key of A. And I got it in here. I pretty much know it, but just so I don't mess things up any more than I will anyway. it's good to be in the house of God. And it's good to have a real desire to be here. I want to be here. I want to be here. I'm not doing this because if I don't, I'm going to hell. I'm doing it because I like this. I love this. I love the Word of God. And God takes His Word and He puts it in me. And He gives me a press and a push to want to actually do what He says. I want to do what He says. Do you do it all the time? No. That's why repentance is done daily, because I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. But God knows it's my desire to be able to do what He wants me to do. And I look at it. I look at the Word. I look at what He's done. I look at how He's brought me. And that pull that's on the inside of me is what gets me to the house. That pull that's on the inside of me is gets me to love the Word. Yes. It lets me know that I'm wrong and it's right. Yes. The pull that's on the inside of me is what keeps me pushing, saying, Lord, I want to do better than I did yesterday. Yes. That's really, honestly, my desire. And as long as that's my desire, I don't care what the devil throws my way. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people think. Because God knows I have a desire to serve Him and to be like He wants me to be. It's my desire to be like Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though oft I've failed Him and brought Him shame, my desire to help someone today, someone whom I have failed to see God's way. But God's word has shown me the way. Now it's my only desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see Jesus has brought me from, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this world's wealth and all the riches. I don't need the pain. It's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus has brought me from, oh, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this world's wealth and all the riches. I don't need the pain, for it's my desire. Yes, it's my desire. God knows it's my desire to be like Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, if they could only see where You brought me from. Lord, You brought us out of the miry clay. And You give us a love and a desire for You. When the rest of the world want fame, they want popularity, they want fortunes. But the greatest thing we could have is a desire for You. Because that'll pull you to you. And that pulls us to eternal life. And that's worth everything. Oh, they can have their fame and their popularity if they want. I don't care about it. All I want is a little more you. We come here this morning, Lord, not to put on some kind of front, to try to put ourselves over, but Lord, we come to put you over. Knowing that, Father, when you come amongst us and walk these aisles, you can change lives. You can save souls. You can, Lord, give a new birth. You can do all these things while your word's going forth. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and thank you for this waiting congregation, knowing that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But through you, all things are possible. Lord, we bring before you this body, Sister Christy, his mother and her father, and even Sister Christy herself. She's not feeling well herself, but trying to take care of her parents, Lord. And, oh, God, I ask you to just help her and be with her during this trying time. Thank you for touching Sister Beth's arm. And Lord, we know you're a healer because we see Jay sitting here and we see Trevor sitting here. We see ourselves sitting here knowing that you've brought us from a mighty long way. And Lord, we want to take a moment this morning to just not ask you for anything, but just to thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the proof of who you are standing right before us. Father, now I've got the book open here. I ask you to open our hearts and speak to us, Lord, and let us, Lord, let us have a burning desire to serve you, not just some cold form of godliness, but a true love for you, a true desire and a true burning that, Lord, I can lay myself down and lay my thinking down and pick up your word. Oh, forgive us where we let you down and was short here and short there, but God, you give us another opportunity, another day to step forward and as a son and a daughter of God that we can stand out and be accounted for. Lord, help us as we bring forth this word this morning. Move the speaker aside. Don't let me give you my ideas. Don't let me put my thinking out there. And Lord, move me aside and you come and speak to the hearts of the people. For truly, the only thing you will quicken is the word of God. And that's what we're here to have. Have your way in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I always say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to have you all in the house of the Lord. I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about God's word. I'm excited to know who I am. If you don't think God can change lives, just look around you. Think of where you were spiritually a year ago. And where you are today. Think of what God's done for you. Think of what he's brought you through. Think of how he's blessed you. How you have a right mind. And a right desire. And a right love. Think of that. I mean, if we don't do nothing after we just stop and just think of that. If you could see where he's brought you from. Spiritually, where he's brought you from. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm not talking about your new car. I'm talking about how God has blessed you. How he's given you a clear, clear understanding. To know what you know. Amen. My goodness. It's good to have a right mind. Well, I'm looking forward to Bible study tonight. I'm going to ask a question. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many read your homework? Okay. All right. For the rest of you, you got half a day. It's not that much. It's not much reading. Romans 7 is not not a lot of reading. You can have it done in 15 minutes if you're a slow reader. But it's good to be able to get together and talk on the scriptures. Now, we're having Brother Okeo come to town, and I got an email from him. He's due to be here on the 10th, and so that means that he can minister for us on the 11th, on October 11th, Wednesday night. And then my plan is, since we have him for about a week, well, he'll be here for a week, and then on the Saturday, I don't know what date that is, Jeremiah could tell you, but on Saturday we'll have services here Saturday evening at 7, and then on Sunday morning, Brother Peter Okeo will be ministering here at 10, and then we'll have a meal after service, and then to be determined about Sunday night. I keep going back and forth. I'm almost wanting to come to Bible study on Sunday night. So we might do a Bible study that night. I might as well just dry the nail, because I keep going back and forth. We're not that tired. So on Sunday night, we'll have Bible study, and we'll have Peter Okeo with us in our Bible study. So it'll be good for that. And I'm not sure what time he'll be leaving that following Wednesday. He may or may not be here. He'll probably be leaving Wednesday. So those are the plans coming up for October. So just get that in your mind, and let's make some plans and make him feel welcome when he comes. Well, I want to get started this morning so that we can move forward. And I got a thought here. I've had this thought for a couple of weeks, and, you know, between company coming and everything going on, I've just sort of been letting it simmer. And that old no good Jeremiah, he always tried to trample on my parade. And he was preaching the other day, and I got tickled because he was getting ready to go into what I was going to go into. And I said, oh, Lord, here we go. But he got turned around and went another way. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't mind if he had. He would have done a great job. And he's an outstanding preacher. He and Jay are both outstanding Amen. Ministers. And I would love to hear him preach on it. But when I start, he's going to be mad. Because it was a good thought, and I actually got this thought from Jeremiah when he preached a couple of Wednesdays ago. So I don't make this stuff up. I usually get my message from my brother's messages, and that's when, unless God just has us to go another way, that's the way we usually roll around here. So if we turn with me over to Genesis chapter 25, I'm going to read a little bit of something here, and it's a very familiar reading. We don't read it often, but it's a very familiar reading. In Genesis chapter 25, and we want to jump down. We won't read the whole thing to save time. Jump down to verse 29. And Jacob saw porridge, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with some of that red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I want to title this message this morning, The Birthright. Because if you understand how the birthright works, you'll understand how God plans on doing things. Now, it's important here to note that Esau was the one who had the birthright, the firstborn. So think about the firstborn. You got to understand, God didn't want us to have two and three, four and five, six multiple births. He only wants to have, he only wants us to be born once. We're only supposed to come one way. In the Garden of Eden, had there not been a fall, we still would have come.
Amen.
And we would have been born with that birthright. Because it was our right. It belonged to us. And with the fall in the garden, we all fell in the condition where the birthright didn't apply. Because we were sold in sin. And I wanted to start here with Jacob and Esau, because there's a couple of things to note here. You know, people who go to church, a lot of times people go to church till they get soured on something. Then they leave church and they despise church. Jacob and Esau, Esau loved his birthright until he sold it. People love you until they sell you. People love God until they sell him out. But the very thing that they love, they turn around and hate. And that's always amazing to me. I mean, it just seems like if you love something, you love something. But people always want to tear down what they can't have. And Jacob loved the birthright to an extent. He loved the thought of it. Let's put it that way. He loved the thought that he was going to get all this stuff. He loved to see with the birthright, the firstborn was the one that inherited everything. He was the one that his daddy thought the best of, the most of. He was the one that was to carry the family name. The others carried it, but it wasn't as important as the firstborn. Because the firstborn was the one who inherited everything from the father. That's the way it worked. That's the way it worked with man, and that's the way it works with God. So, being the firstborn was an important role. But Jacob understood and loved that birthright. But Esau, it didn't mean that much to him. See, there's some people go to church and it means everything. Some people go to church and don't mean that much. I could come or I can go. Like Seth said, I could come to church or I could stay at home and tune in. That means your birthright don't mean that much to you. You say, say what you want.
Okay.
The proof is in the taste of the pudding. You can say what you want, Esau, and say you love God. And Esau acted like he loved his birthright. He went along with his birthright until he got the pull of the world on him. You say, the pull of the world? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the world pulling on Esau. You say, that was the world? That was his hunger. No, he's taking care of his flesh. See, anytime you're taking care of your flesh and your spirit, it's the pull of the world.
Amen.
Call it what you want. Call it a boyfriend. Call it a college degree. Call it a new car. You put what you want in there. There is a pull of the world that's pulling on every last one of us. And if you don't respect the birthright, it's going to take you down. It will. It's going to take you down. You say, well, I don't love the world. You don't. It'll show. Because, see, you can only tread water so much. sooner or later, Brother Lockett, it's going to show. If you love God, sooner or later, it's going to show. And if you don't love God, sooner or later, it's going to show. When you go through trials, it shows. When you go through tests, it shows. When you go through sickness, it shows. When you lose your job, it shows. When you lose your family, it shows. When you lose yourself, it shows. Because you're going to identify one way or the other. You're either going to identify with the birthright or you're going to identify with the world. Jacob wanted the birthright. It wasn't even his to get. But he loved it so much that he would sell out Esau. He would trick Esau. He would connive and he would plan and he would scheme to get it. Now you're talking about somebody who respects the birthright. And somebody who loves God, really loves God. I'm not talking about these churchgoers. I'm talking about somebody who really loves God. You'll scheme. You'll connive. You'll trick. You'll sneak. You'll do whatever it takes to get the birthright. Because even though it doesn't belong to you, it does. You say, how's that? Well, it's mine. I have a desire for it. I have a longing for it. I will sell everything out to get it. Sell everything. See, that's the key point. Sell everything. You have to sell out to everything for this birthright. Esau wasn't willing. First little trial that Esau got. It wasn't even a trial. He thought he was going to die. He wasn't going to die. He had breakfast. But he was drama. I'm going to die. Really, what he's saying is, I don't care about the birthright. When you go out in the world and you lead the word of God, you don't care about the birthright. Say what you want. That's why there's people say, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there, and if I'm not, I won't. You won't. Esau thought proudly in his mind, even though I'm selling my birthright, I'm still going to get it because I'm the firstborn. That's what he thought. He thought, yeah, I'll get this porridge, but I'm still going to get it. But see, the thing is, if you don't have respect for the birthright, you'll sell it out and you'll never get it. He was taking care of his flesh. He was taking care of the present tense need. No vision at all. No vision at all. Do you realize if he had vision and he got the birthright, he could have got the birthright and then made Jacob cook for him. Because he's the firstborn. Jacob would be his servant. So because he had no vision, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of vision. They don't have vision. They can't see. Some people go to church and can't see past their nose. As long as they're having a good day, as long as things are going their way, as long as God's blessing them, God give them a new car, God give them this, God give them that, as long as they're getting that, woohoo, God's good. But let God pull the rug out from under you like he did Job. Let him take all those good little treats away. Let him put a little pressure on you. Let him put a little trial on you. You know, you can't even get the flavor, you know, the fragrance of a flower until you crush it. You don't even know what's in a Christian until they get trials. You don't even know how much you love your wife until you go through something as a married couple. We don't even appreciate our parents until they're gone. So when you're used to daddy doing this and daddy's not there to do it. You're used to mama doing this and mama's not there to do it. When we lost my mother, we had to learn how to write checks. We didn't even know how to write checks.
back in those days, you younger people. Checks are a piece of paper that you endorse, and you put a dollar amount, and you take it, and you can cash it, like your debit card. I have to keep that in mind. Transitions between generations. Things change. But we kids didn't know how to write checks. We never wrote checks. My daddy didn't write checks. And when my mama was pulled out of the scene, we had to learn how to write checks. We had to learn how to grocery shop. My sister, who was just starting to drive, had to drive us around. She had to learn how to pay DP&L. We had to learn all those things. You take for granted what you have until it's gone. You don't know what you have until it's gone. They say you don't miss the well till the water runs dry. But you don't know what's in you until you get crushed, till you get pressure put on you. Brother Branham said, thank God for pressure. Because pressure brings out what's really in you. If you really love God, put you in a trial and God will come out. If he's in there, you put a little pressure on you and God will come out. If you don't have God in you, and you have no respect for the birthright, and you may not have never said that. Esau probably never told anybody that. But in his heart, God knew he didn't have respect for the birthright. So when a little bit of pressure was put on him, out the door he went. Jacob didn't even have to push him over. He just passed out. Just a little pressure. Never. Oh, I'm starving. And see the thing, he thought, what good does the birthright do me if I'm going to die? The birthright is what you need when you die. So that you can be gathered with your fathers. So he was so carnal-minded, and he was so stuck. The world pulled at him, and he just gave to it. That's why a lot of the young kids are gone now. They just give to the world. They did just like Esau did. They sold their birthright, and they are not here today, and they don't have access to it. But on the other hand, Jacob, I looked his name up, means trickster. Means heel grabber, because remember when Jacob and Esau were born, they were twins, and one came out. Jacob and Esau were wrestling, trying to be firstborn. See, Jacob was after the first. He was after the birthright from day one. They were wrestling, trying to figure out who's going to be the first one out of the womb. So he was a heel grabber. Messing with his brother from day one. Sir Planner, someone or something taking the place of another as through force, scheming, strategy, or the like. That's Jacob. Now you would think God wouldn't want anybody like that. You would think God want the goodies, the goody two-shoes. You would think God would want, because, you know, God's all about the firstborn. I'm telling you. I got some stuff here. I'm telling you, God's about the firstborn. And for God to overlook the firstborn and go after the secondborn, that meant God had a plan. So though Jacob had problems, though he was conniving, though he was as sneaky as could be, a trickster and a heel grabber, God said, I like him. Jacob was not a good liver. Esau lived a whole lot better than Jacob. Only problem Esau had was he didn't have respect for the birthright. The only problem people have is they don't have respect for the birthright. That's why they're not here. That's why they can't take this. It's too hot. It's too straight. I'm sorry. It's got to be straight. It's got to be hot. Because if you've got the birthright, it's yours, and you want it straight. You want it right. And you will sneak, steal, grab, whatever. I told y'all, I said, if Brother Children, because I always thought I was an awful person. And I thought, one of these days, Brother Children's going to have enough of me, and he's just going to throw me out of this church. Because there's a lot of good people here, and I'm ruining the whole flavor. And I said, he's going to throw me out of here one day. I said, but when he throws me out, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to sit right on the back row. And he can preach all he wants. And when he comes preaching down the aisle, if I had to, I'll run out. And when he goes back, I'll come back. I'm going out because I got to eat. Amen. I'm Jacob. I have respect for the birthright. I have respect for the word. I know which side my bread's buttered on. I know I need this place. I know I need the word of God. I know I can't live without it. That was Jacob. Esau's like, psh, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. He didn't respect the birthright at all. And matter of fact, the first opportunity he got, he sold it. Sold it. People sell out all the time.
Right.
No respect.
That's right.
Brother Judah said there ought to be a sense of obligation about this place.
Amen.
There ought to be some loyalty right. about even the place where you're getting your bread from.
Amen.
So Jacob wasn't that great of a guy. Brother Branham said, now Esau was a religious man. Oh. Y'all thought Esau was an unbeliever. Esau believed in the same God Jacob did. Esau was from the same family line as Jacob was. Esau was a religious man. He didn't claim to be an unbeliever. He believed in the same God Jacob did, same God his daddy did, but he was just a shyster. Or excuse the expression, Brother Brennan's trying to be polite. He was just no good. He was, now as far as being morally, he was really a better moral acting man than Jacob was. So when people sell out, they don't sell out being worse, they sell out being better than you. People don't leave the church because they're worse than you. They leave the church because they're better than you. Morally, they were right. A better moral acting man than Jacob was. But you see, he didn't think, oh, what's the birthright got to do with it? And he sold his birthright to Jacob. Didn't care. Oh, what's the new birth got to do with this? I'm just as much of a believer as you are. I'm just as righteous as you are. I'm just as holy as you are. Matter of fact, I'm better. Because I'm a better liver than you. Morally, you might be right. But in your mind, you think, what does this church have to do with it? That's between me and God. I got God. You see, people get so much God that they can walk away from God and they don't need God. I got God, just like you got God. That's Jake. That was Esau for you. But Jacob, he didn't have big things. And like Esau did, he didn't have the inheritance that he did. But there was one thing Jacob wanted, was the birthright. He didn't care how he had to get it. He was going to get it. And God had respect to him. Even though it wasn't even his to get. He wanted it so bad that it doesn't matter what it cost. See, that's the way we need to be. We love this birthright so much. That it doesn't matter what it cost. If I got to leave my friends, if I got to leave my old life, if I got to lay down my own thinking, if I got to put this away, and if I got to drop this, and if I got to pick this up, I love the birthright so much that I will be willing to sell it all out.
Amen.
I'll do it. I want to be right.
Yeah.
That's Jacob. That's the birthright. That's somebody who's serious about this. I ain't talking about somebody that's just church going. I'm talking about somebody that's selling out. I'm talking about somebody that's giving it all. There's nothing left. That you're not trying to keep your thinking. You're not trying to live like the world. You're not trying to be like the world. You're not trying to put on for somebody else. You want the word of God and you'll lay everything else down. That's the Jacob that I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's willing to give it all up. All. Bible says, unless you forsake your father, your mother, even your own self. You got to give up yourself. What you want, your will, what your thoughts are, how you think it should work, how you think it should be. No, I'm talking about somebody selling it all out.
Amen.
And then that's the same thing today. With the natural man, carnal mind, worldly minded. Well, I belong to the state church. I belong to this church. I belong to that. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. Not a thing. Sell it out yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Those are Jacob's. Those are somebody that, there's somebody that, that they can deal with. And the thing about it is these people that are morally correct and right, they are out there doing their own thing. But one day, they're going to want the birthright back. One day, they're going to want to come back to church. One day, they're going to... See, the thing is, y'all didn't think that God could close the doors of the church till the thing called COVID came. Some of y'all were in and out of church, come to church some, don't come to church some, come when you want, leave when you want, come late, leave early. That's what y'all were doing here. Then came COVID. Shut the whole place down. Maximum amount of people were 10. And 8 of the 10 were musicians and people to make the service work. So, okay. Only 2 people could get to come to church. That's like getting you through a straw. And then you had to sit at home. When before, you come to church late. Because it didn't matter what time you got here. You left early because you wanted to get to the smorgasbord before the church people let out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Oh, don't come Wednesday because nothing's happening Wednesday. It's just Jeremiah and Jay. We come Sunday morning. When the pastor's speaking. Respect the persons. Don't even know who's talking. Think it's me. Think it's them. It ain't none of us. It's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. And you don't even have enough sense to know it's God. That's Esau. But Esau got to a point. And everybody who's ever left this church will get to this point. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, verse 15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, verse 16 is where I was trying to get to. Lest there be any fornicator or perverse or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Just for one meal. Just for one little dance. Just for one little good time. Just for one little thing. You sell your whole entire birthright out for one little thing to please your flesh.
Amen.
For you know how that afterwards, see, after the bowl was empty,
afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he rejected it. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Though he thought it carefully with tears, he seriously wanted to get back to church. He seriously wanted to get his birthright back. He seriously wanted to turn around. Okay, now I'm going to serve God. Okay, now I'm going to do it right. Okay, now I want to. You know, you could get to a point where God don't want you.
Amen.
You could send away your day of grace and God don't want nothing to do with you. And you can't do nothing with God. Though you might tearfully seek him out. That's how important that birthright is. Jacob knew how serious it was. And Esau took it for granted until he played around enough. He played around long enough till he finally sold it. You know, like Jim always says, if you walk around a car lot long enough, you're going to buy a car. Esau played around with his birthright in his mind before he ever did it. So you don't leave God just like that. You got a thought. You play around up here. You think it's not important. You think God's not important. You don't make God number one up here before you ever speak it. You leave a church long before you walk out the door. And y'all don't surprise me when y'all leave. I watch the whole trip. They go bang, 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 bang. Woo.
See how?
They'll talk about this one. They'll talk about that one. They're bad at this one. They're mad at that one. This is no good. That one's no good. Next thing, all the brothers and sisters no good. I'm only here for the pastor. And then after a while, the pastor's no good. And that's the last one you see on your way out because I'm the shepherd at the door.
Nice.
By the time you talk about me, you're gone. You've been gone. Esau finally got to the place where he wanted his birthright and couldn't get it. You'll play around in church long enough.
Yeah.
Fairborn Community Tabernacle.
Right.
It goes for all of us.
Right.
You'll play around with God long enough till God will finally let you do what's in your heart anyway.
Amen.
That's why I don't have to follow you home. Because
no.
It's only a matter of time, Esau.
Right.
Till you're going to sell your birthright.
Right.
You get to a place where it's not that important. Don't mean that much. I can do better without it. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need this church. I got the word. You have the word and don't have the church, you don't have nothing. Because how can you hear except to be preached? See, there's too many scriptures to get out of here on your own. So you got to sell out like Esau. And Esau got to a point where he realized what he'd done, but it was too late.
Right.
Amen.
But you know what that showed me? Esau never had it.
Right.
He never had the birthright. It never was his. He thought it was. It looked like it was. Time-wise, it seemed like it was. But Jacob had the birthright the whole time.
Right.
Esau was born in a family with the promise of God. The oldest son had the birthright. How many knows that? By a promise of God, Esau's name was on the book for the birthright. Is that right? Is that right, church?
Amen.
All right. Okay, I'm just making sure y'all still with me. But he swapped it for a mess of wild gourds or peas, hungry to fill his belly, his meal ticket. He swapped his birthright for a meal ticket and could find no place to repent. You can finally get to a place that you can't repent. You say, but what about predestination? When you get to that point, it just shows you're not predestinated.
That's right.
It never was. Esau never was getting the birthright. You just manifest the fact that you're not who you said you were.
Right.
So all that's going on there. Hebrews chapter 11, this is where I got this, because just as Jeremiah was talking about Moses, and I thought this is nice the way that it was worded. Because see, you got to sell out.
Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have been Pharaoh. But it had been for a season. Oh, a lot of people say, I got it. Hallelujah. God's blessed me with a job interview. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a new job. Where's this job at? It's in Texas. It's in Florida. It's in California. It's in, really? God's give you this job. Oh, yeah. You sure that's God? Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? You tell me God told you something, I won't fight you on it. I'll say, God told you? Really? God told you? And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit back and watch, because it becomes a time, fruit-bearing time. You know, when you start bearing that fruit, I'll find out if it's a lemon. Moses chose to stay with the children of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. People get all kind of... Do you realize the devil can give you a good job? Oh, he'll fix you up so much you won't even think of God. You'll forget to even pray for your food. You can get so far away from God that you don't thank him for nothing. Don't need God. You're just like the church in Revelation chapter 3. Rich, increase with good, and have need of nothing. You can get so many opportunities, but you're supposed to put God first. You're supposed to be in the house of God. I understand sometimes you got to have jobs where you work on the days when we have church. I get it. I'm not a fanatic. I'm saying God knows your heart. God knows when there's a cow in a ditch, and God knows when you put it there. You say, what does that mean? Sometime you got to get the cow out of the ditch on Sunday because it wandered in there. And sometimes Saturday night you open the gate. I'm just saying. Sometimes some of these opportunities that we come up with are man-made and we put it in ourselves and we force ourselves. And I know, you know, the way this world works, we got business now 24/7. You got work Sundays through Sundays and you got all kinds. But when you can be in the house of God, when you can be in the house of God, you should be in the house of God.
Amen.
When you can't be in the house of God because you got to work, I get that. Work! Because the Bible also says if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you don't eat, you're going to be like Esau. You'll sell out that way too. So you need to work. I'm an avid believer that everybody in the church should have a job. Now, I know that some of you all got it made. Y'all's husbands got, you know. Y'all doing all right. And you don't have to. But then you work at home. You're still working. You still got a job. Still got a congregation. Those kids are sitting there looking at you. Teach us. Tell us what to do in life. How we do this. So I got a balance on this thing. I got a balance. If your husband needs you to work and to make ends meet, then work. If he's making enough that, you know, you don't have to, then don't. And if he's making enough and he's making you work just because he's greedy, that's bad too. See, this is just as far on the other extreme. So God's going to take care of us, but he wants us to do what we need to do when we need to do it. Don't sell out. Don't let this world pull you under. Don't get so busy that you have no time for God. Because the Brother Branham said that in the hour we're living in, Our biggest task is the biggest thing that gets us is this easy living. Amen. Everybody got to be busy doing. No, God wants your time. Amen. God, I ain't never too busy. I can't lay what I want to do down to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Call me at 2 in the morning, I'll be there.
That's right. Amen.
Work day on Saturday, I'll be there. Amen. I ain't going to be at the crochet. But I'm sending delegates. But whatever God wants me to do and be involved with, I want to be involved with. Yes. Why would you put anything before God?
Amen.
Come on. Don't be an Esau. Right. Oh, but I get attention. I don't care about your attention. Oh, but I get popular. Judas is popular. Everybody knows about Judas. But the thing is, you need to understand that you are Jacob. You gotta manipulate your work. Sometimes you gotta take a holiday or a day off on a day we're having a meeting. And he's like, well, I'm just gonna put on vacation day for that day. You know, some people are like, I ain't putting on vacation day. I earned that day. I'm going down to XX on that day. And I need all of my vacation days to be able to do this. So, no, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to, you know what? Don't make God get you. You lose that job before your June vacation. Your week in the Poconos. Then you don't have no job. You don't have no money. You don't have no money. You don't have no vacation. Because you're sure not going on the money that you give you on unemployment. Don't make God have to do something for you. He will. I've seen it do it. I've had people have great big plans, and God took their plans and balled it up like a piece of paper.
Amen.
Moses chose to be with the children than to suffer with the children and to enjoy the pleasures, the short-lived pleasure. Do you realize how short-lived your pleasures are? You say, but I'm a young person. I need to live. Your youth is only going to be good for about maybe 10 years max. And after that 10 years, you ain't young no more. And what have you done in those 10 years for God? Well, I'll serve God when I turn 30. You'll never serve God.
Right.
30 or 80. Amen. You're tools to take the pleasures of this world. This world. I have to work a lot because I got to pay for 2 houses. I got a vacation site and I got a yacht and I got my house here. That's the way we live. No, it's not. That's what the world throws on you to keep you too busy to serve God. It's a miracle man Clarice made it on one income. It's a miracle anybody can make it on one income. But I don't have no home. I don't have no vacation home. I don't have no yacht. But you know what? You sacrifice those things because God wants you to be available for Him. That's what God wants. He wants you to be available so that He can use you. And Moses chose to be a servant of God and suffer the affliction with the people of God. I'd rather suffer the affliction with you guys than to be out here in the biggest message church or denominational church there is in the world.
Amen.
Then enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the arrest. Oh, this is 26 is the one Jeremiah read, and I thought, oh, that's got a nice flavor to it. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I'd rather be talked about like a dog in this message. Think I'm following a man. I'd rather take that reproach than to go along with all the treasures that I could get in my apostolic church. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He understood and respected the fact that what little bit I do for God is nothing in comparison to what He's going to do for me. What do you think you're sacrificing now? Oh, I can't stand Christians who got the rough side of the mountain. Oh, serving God is so hard. Oh, I don't know if I can come subject to my husband. Oh, this church requires so much of us. Just let all the hot air out and let the balloon go wherever it needs to go. Because you ain't doing no good here. You ain't edifying nobody here. And you're miserable serving God. You're forcing yourself to serve God. You might as well. My mother said, don't go to hell in a Volkswagen. Get you a Cadillac. Go first class. Moses has respect for that reward. Now Moses, with his great faith again, could say no to the present things of the present world. And he made a righteous choice. And you have to make a choice. You here today have to make a choice. He chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God. He chose to go with it. Why? His faith. He saw the promise. He saw the end time. He saw over into tomorrow. And he let his faith loose. And he didn't pay no attention to what his eyes saw and the possibilities here. That he was the Pharaoh and was going to be the Pharaoh. He looked plumb over to tomorrow. And that's what you guys got to do. That's what I got to do. Don't worry about looking here. Look at the promises. Look at what's just ahead that God's promised us by the birthright. Oh, if people could only do that. Don't see this present world. If you look at this present world, you'll make a choice with it. Hide your eyes from that and look at the promises of God way over to tomorrow. See, you know, we spend too much time trying to fit into the world. Act like the world. Dress like the world. Look like the world. We're spending too much time doing that. You are different. So trying to fit in and do all the things of the world, it's not even going to work. I don't care how. If you're a Jacob, it's not going to work. While you're out in the dance floor, you're going to be talking to yourself. While you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to be talking to yourself. When you should be in church and you're not in church and you could be in church, you're going to be talking to yourself. That's the way it works with a Jacob. Now, if you get out of here and you don't bother about church and you never think about it, you could be an Esau. But by faith, he could choose. He did choose to be called the son of Abraham and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. How could he? When all the whole kingdom, Egypt, had the world whipped, he was king of the world and was a young man of 40 years old, here ready to take the throne. But he never looked at that. See, that's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Look at the promise. Look what God has promised us. Quit trying to fit in down here. Now, I used to tell Jay and them, they were raised right two doors down. And they'd walk out and they had their pants down and they'd walk like, you know, they're doing all this ghetto stuff. Like, I liked them from Dayton. And I'm like, boy, y'all need to quit. Y'all raised up on the west side of Fairborn. Don't know about trying to be cool, trying to fit in, trying to be the. That's like, just be yourself. We live in Fairborn. We have a mixed congregation. Down there picketing, we're against the whites. Down there. y'all down there with your KKK meeting, we hate blacks. Y'all from Fairborn. Amen. We have a mixed congregation. We love each other. Amen. Just be who you are. Amen. Identify with us. Amen. But don't try to fit in with the world. Try to get all the latest of the world gadgets. Try to look like the world. Try to act like the world. When you get in the middle of all the world, you look just like them. I like to stand out. I don't mind being different. When we went to that rodeo, we're all sitting there together.
I know people are probably like, what's that group? We'd go to churches down in Dayton, whites carrying the black kids, blacks carrying the white kids, and like, whose kids are who? But it makes them look, I like being different. I don't mind being different.
Amen.
But you're trying to fit in with the world. They get earrings everywhere. You got to get earrings everywhere. They wear these things, and you got to wear these things. They wear these pants that are, and I don't understand it. Maybe somebody here can explain it. I know I'm meddling now. Well, I'm swimming now. I'm in the middle. I'm out here. I'm out here now. They got these pants, and they're like new jeans, but they're cut up, holes all the way down. And I'm like, I don't understand it. You're going to pay more money. More money. You're going to pay more money for tore-up jeans to fit in. See, this is what I'm talking about, fitting in. You're trying to fit in with the world. Don't try to fit in with the world. You're different. Quit trying to act like them when you're not like them. You have a birthright. You should stand out. You should be different. They should know you're different. Amen. Don't be ashamed of who you are.
Amen.
Be proud of who you are. Amen. I'm a son of God. I'm different than the rest of the world.
Amen. Amen.
Quit trying to fit in with everybody, because you're never going to fit in. You know what? Every Jacob in here, you're never going to fit in. I don't care how many holes you put in. I don't care how many holes jeans you wear. I don't care how much you try to dress like them and act like them. You're going to be a sore thumb anyway. And you are not going to be happy. I'd rather be happy and let them try to figure me out than me be miserable trying to be like them. And I'm not talking clothesline religion, but y'all know what I believe about pants and dresses, cutting hairs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Quit trying to fit in with the world. You are different.
Amen.
I have to say amen myself.
Amen.
Our problem is we're trying to be in the world, but you're not of the world.
Right.
Jesus said, Father, don't pray that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil they're in.
Right.
He didn't expect you to come and just separate yourself and be out here somewhere floating around. He wanted you to be in the world, but not of the world.
Right. Amen. 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 You're right. I know you're right.
Oh, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Anyhow. Amen.
I found something that I thought I wanted to share it with us. I'm not late yet, am I? Turn with me over to Numbers 3. You're going to love this. Numbers chapter 3. God's purpose for us all was to deal with us as firstborn. Always was. Never. God never changed his mind about his word. The whole problem of sin messed that up. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. And I behold, I have taken the Levites from amongst the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Because all the firstborn are mine. Isn't that interesting? In God's mind, it never was about a second birth. Never was about a second born.
Right.
All the firstborns were supposed to have been his.
Right.
For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn of Israel, both men and beasts. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. God's all about firstborn.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad or ugly. When he went down and he slew the firstborn in Egypt, you know what he was doing? He was wiping out the family lineages of everybody. The firstborn was supposed to receive the inheritance of the father. And when he went in Egypt,
The only thing that saved Israel was the blood.
Amen.
God was wiping out all the firstborn. If you didn't have the blood, I don't care if you were Israelite or Egyptian, the firstborn was going to die. The blood was the only thing that saved the firstborn of Israel. Nice thought. Hang on to that because we're going somewhere with this. These types are in here. See, in God's mind, he always loved the firstborn. In God's mind, it was always about the firstborn. In God's mind, he was going to do everything for the firstborn. You were supposed to only be born once.
Right.
Amen. Now listen to this one. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. Men and beasts. He didn't care if it was a horse, donkey, dog. Man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house wherein you where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God was smiting all the firstborn. Didn't matter who they were. Everybody had to die. But then there came the blood. And the blood was paid for that firstborn. God made a provided way. Yes, Brother Branham said. And it was what? The blood. God's provided way, as simple as it seemed, to take the blood of a lamb and sprinkle on the door. Yet God said that that was his way. And he honored it. All out from under the blood died the firstborn. Every firstborn out from under the blood died. Now God had a whole different plan for the first blood, firstborn that are under the blood. But if the plan in Egypt was for God to destroy all the firstborn, there was nothing that anybody could do to stop that. But for those that were under the blood, God had a whole different plan. Do you realize God's firstborn, the plan was for him to get them out of Egypt? That was his plan for the firstborn that were under the blood. All the other firstborns, that plan was to die. If you were not a firstborn under the blood, you had to die. This is God's plan. And here it is, as we're going through this, we're starting to see how that God actually had a plan for those. Now, I'll skip that. I'll just jump down here. Now, we got here the wrong way. Your first nature was the firstborn. But it was wrong. And the whole thing about salvation came into play with the birthright, because the firstborn was supposed to receive the birthright. But because we came the wrong way, the firstborn shouldn't get the birthright. That firstborn has no respect for the birthright. When you come here, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You had no respect for the birthright on your soul, on your spirit, or on your flesh. No respect at all. But because of the blood, there had to be a second birth. And the firstborn has to die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. See, there it goes. There you go. At firstborn was a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul,
And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. And think about us. Our first was not spiritual. Our first was natural. Howbeit that which was first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Our firstborn is not going to inherit anything. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man, or the second born, the second man is a Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we had borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The second born. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. The first born wasn't inheriting anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Not all is in everybody, but all that come from God, amen, all that were a part of God. See, that's why the firstborn wasn't going to receive this. And God was showing this throughout the whole Bible, and we just don't even hardly pay that attention. I want to go somewhere else now. I'm skipping because I know I'm going to get in trouble with time here. Genesis chapter 48, jumping down. Now we're dealing with Israel here. I'm talking about the man Israel. Now the eyes, verse 10, of Israel were dim of age. Now listen to this. So that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, now here's Joseph. He's the, you know, out of everybody who should understand, should have been Joseph. And Israel said unto Joseph, I have not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has shown me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand willingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Here God's showing himself another example. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head, but unto Manasseh's head. But Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. Wait a minute. How are you going to give the credit? How are you going to give the blessing to the secondborn when it's supposed to go to the firstborn? Out of all the people who had this argument, shouldn't have been Joseph. But Joseph knew how it worked. Joseph himself received the blessing. Joseph knew that if he didn't give it to the right one, that blessing would follow the one he went to. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations.
Listen to that. Here he is crossing his hands.
Amen.
And giving the secondborn the blessing. And the firstborn did not receive the blessing.
Amen.
Like us. God loves the firstborn. But God didn't love us. We're heathens. We're no good. We're Gentiles. God wasn't supposed to deal with us. He's supposed to deal with Israel. See, God is always, even though he said about the firstborn, but he always kept his eye on the secondborn. Because the secondborn is where he wanted to go. Secondborn is where he wanted to dwell. Secondborn is where he wanted to pick a wife from. So God is always, though his law says the firstborn receives it all, somewhere in the back of God's mind, he always preferred the secondborn. Though he went to Israel, though he went to the Jews, you know God's heart was with the Gentiles. Even though he went with Israel, he wanted a Gentile bride. He's always wanted us. So, yeah, he blessed Israel, but he crossed his hands. And he said, I'm going to go to a people that know no God. I'm going to go to the heathens. I'm going to go to, listen to what Brother Brown said, because this is good stuff here. But notice another glorious revelation in the typing of Joseph. Joseph, while in Egypt, was given a Gentile bride. And through her, he received a family of two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph asked his father to bless his two boys. He placed them in front of Jacob so that Manasseh, the firstborn, would be on Jacob's right and Ephraim to the left. And Jacob was about to bless them. He crossed his hands so that the right hand fell upon the younger. Joseph cried out, not so, father. This is the firstborn to your right. But Jacob said, God crossed my hands. Here in type we see that the blessings which belong to the firstborn, the Jews were the firstborn. It says, here in type we see the blessings which belong to the firstborn, the Jews, was given over to the younger, the Gentiles, through the cross hands of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blessings come through the cross. Galatians 3 and 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham came through the cross to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected the cross. Therefore, Jesus got the Gentile bride. There's your use of the cross. Not only was God crossing his hands, but he put Jesus Christ on a cross. Not for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Not for the firstborn, but for the secondborn. And here we are receiving the blessings of the birthright that was originally supposed to go to the Jews. Firstborn turned it down. Firstborn was Esau. Firstborn didn't say he wanted it. They said, let its curse be on us and our children. And it's been there ever since. But the Gentiles, by the cross hands of Jesus Christ, received the birthright.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquities. We all came here speaking lies, but the crossed hands of Jesus Christ, he brought about a salvation that the Jews can't get. Here we are, able to take our sins and lay them at the foot of the cross. Here we are, able to receive the grace of God that the Jews are still trying to go and bring their heifers and bring their sacrifices and bring their offerings and doing their works. And here the Gentiles are. We're free from sin. We don't have no works to do. We don't have nothing to bring. It's by the grace and grace alone of God.
Amen.
And here we are receiving the birthright when it didn't even belong to us.
Right.
The Jews were supposed to be able to be set free. The Jews were supposed to be able to receive the grace of God. But they turned it down, and here we are today with the grace of God abiding in our lives.
Amen.
That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, we must be born again. Even in our own natural life, that firstborn come here wrong. And we must be born again. The second born, the second one, Don, is going to receive the blessing, not this first one. Don't spend too much time on this, because this thing is cursed. Even now it's cursed. But the second born, when you're born again of him, that one's going to receive the blessing. That one is going to receive the word. That one's going to receive the grace of God. It's going to be the grace of God that any of us be saved. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, that firstborn, stuck. We were stuck in bondage. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, not going to be. Remember, God always loved you. I got that right here. He always loved you. Always wanted you. He never was after Esau. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We inherit it all. We inherit it all. Because Jesus crossed his hands for us. That the Gentiles might receive what we didn't deserve. We were heathens, Brother Branham said, with clubs on our back. We didn't know about God. We knew nothing about God. But God, who knew about you, loved you before you did anything.
Amen.
I'm trying to jump down through because it's after 12. Romans chapter 9. Verse 9, just to jump down, I had 1 through 9, but I'm starting at 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah, verse 10, also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God never loved Esau. God never loved the Jews for a wife. God never loved your first nature. He never loved your old nature. When God come and saved the world, and John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he wasn't talking about your old nature. He was talking about God loving the seed that is inside of you. That second born. That's why you must be born again. That's why you have to have God give you a new birth. It wasn't the firstborn, but the second that received the blessing of God.
Amen.
It wasn't the firstborn that got the birthright, but the secondborn that got the birthright. It wasn't Israel that received the birthright. Israel turned it down, but the Gentiles picked it up.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord is on Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. That's strong words. From God.
Yeah.
From God to hate you? God loves you. The born again you. The second nature you. The second born you. That's the one that's going to receive the blessings from God. That's the one that has the birthright. Not your old first nature, the second nature. And when God gives you a new birth, that's Him crossing His hand and recognizing that's what's going to receive the blessing. That's what's going to get the birthright. And what does the birthright entitle you to? Everything that God has. What does inheritance entitle you to? Everything that God has. What does it mean to the bride? It means that when you are dead to yourself and this new birth happens to you, that you're going to have all a new heaven, new earth. You're going to be everything that God has, you have. Everything that you have, God has. You're all going to be one. And that's all entitled to you by the birthright. No other way for you to receive this. Brother Brennan said, before I close the subject, and me too, I know there's a question in your mind. You want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in the Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in the reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for human mind to grasp the eternal God with the eternal thoughts. Thought and declared, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Romans 9:13, and neither were born, neither had done good or evil. See, it was the thought, and then the thought became expressed. And God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright. See, Jacob had respect to the birthright because he was the seed of God. He had respect to the birthright and the covenant of God. If you are true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear and true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you? When you hear the word, you will automatically turn to it. That's a proof of who you are. If you're fiddling around with the word and don't know what to do, don't know whether it's right or not, don't know whether it's for you or not, don't know whether you're in or out, then you have not been born again. Because when you're born again, you'll turn quickly to the word. And you will follow the word. And you will stay with the word. And the word will stay with you. That's proof of your birthright, Jeremiah. That's a proof of who you are. That's the proof that you're not the firstborn, but you are the secondborn, but was a part of God's eternal plan. And your life, very life, will fulfill the word of God. Amen. That's going to show who you are. Amen. Not how kind you are. Not how nice you are. Not how many churches you join. Not how many people you get to know. It's about you and Christ becoming one. And you become the manifested word of God for the hour that you're living in. That's the firstborn. That's the birthright. That's who we are. That's what we have. That's what's been open to us. And if you're a Jacob, you'll get it no matter what. You won't let anything stand in your way. You won't let anybody stand in your way. You won't let any situation stand in your way. By hook or by crook, you'll get it. By whatever means it takes, you'll get it. God will deal with you. He'll deal with you. He'll change you. He'll make you. He'll do what... I look at Beth. Beth says she's changing. God's changed her. And I like her testimony because she said, you know what? God made me love my dad, and I didn't love my dad. Right. Now, that ain't something we taught.
No,
that's happened from the inside out. God changes your very nature. Right. When that new birth happens, it changes your love. It changes your decisions in life. Yeah. It changes the decisions you think about every day. What do I need to do? What I don't need to do? What I need to lay down? What I need to pick up? Where do I need to go? Where do I need to live? Where do I need to work? Who do I need to associate with? Who are my friends? Your best friend should be in the house of God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Has the rest of the world to sell you out? You say, oh, my buddy will never sell me out. He'll sell you out. You better find somebody in this body you can get along with. He said, well, I don't like fishing. I don't like hunting. I don't like crocheting. I don't like sewing. I don't like painting. You're telling all things you don't like. You better find something that you like. You better find something, because you know what? The rest of the world's going to sell you out. The rest of the world's going to stab you in the back. The rest of the world's going to do just like Esau did. Sell the birthright and then be sorry that they did it, and then they're going to despise you because you didn't. We have the birthright. And the birthright entitles us to everything that God has. That's who we are. We're not the firstborn. We're the secondborn. But because God crossed his hands, we received the blessing anyway. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that, Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. You've crossed your hands for us. The Jews didn't want it, but the Gentiles did. And now we stand here with everything promised to us that should have gone to the Jews. Lord, help us not sell that birthright. But Lord, help us to hold that thing dear to our heart and let nothing come between us. And it won't, because we're ordained to do this. You saw us. That's why you put your seed in us. That's why you sold yourself to us, because you saw that we would sell ourselves to you. Let's forget the world. Quit trying to match them and try to be like them, because they're not going anywhere anyway. But let us be like you. Let us try to match our lives to your life. Lay down what you say lay down, and pick up what you want us to pick up, and do the things that would be pleasing in your sight, that we might fulfill the word of the hour, which is the seed. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for, Lord, us having a love for your word. Have your way with us, Father. Touch those that are sick and need. And Lord, we know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's still your word that you heal. It's still your word that you deliver. Make a way where it seems to be no way, Lord. In our lives, let us lay our lives in your hands. And Lord, you mold us into who you want us to be. Not who we want to be. Not some spoiled brat, but Lord, a man, a woman of God that is standing for the word of God and looking to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, our revelation. You'll give us everything we need in the proper time. Be with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Musicians, come on. God help us.
Amen. Amen.
Help us to let you just do what you want in our lives. David.
I just want to thank God for this place and for giving me another opportunity to be here. I know this place is nothing but the truth, and every time we get together, it's nothing but the truth that comes across the pulpit. And I thank God for that, and I believe this word. You know, it's been with me this whole life, and I can't do without it. And I know who I am. I know where I'm going.
Amen.
And I know I'm taking my loved ones with me, and I just thank God for this word. It's nothing but the truth, and love you guys.
Amen.
I just didn't want another day to go by that I just didn't get up and say thank the Lord for his word and what he is doing in my life. And I'm so thankful for the pastor and the brothers that preach, because it is not easy reading the Bible, but I did my homework. But you all just make it so clear to me, and I believe this word. And if I can't do anything else, I know I can get to his house.
Amen.
So God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget tonight, 7:00. I'm expecting. Think about his love.
Think about his goodness, what he's actually done to make a way for us to be able to hear, be here and accept his grace. My goodness. He's done so much for us. And I don't think we've just barely touched the surface of even trying to give him back anything. Amen. 7 o'clock tonight. Think about his love. Oh, think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us.